This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome and good afternoon, and welcome to this special edition of Fight Back. Her name was Evangeline LaRosa. She was 54 years old when she was killed by a cement truck while trying to cross the street at Young and Erskine. That's a residential neighborhood. There was a sign clearly marked with the words, "No trucks." Evangeline immigrated to Canada from the Philippines with her sister. Her church community was her family. At the Precious Blood of Christ Church, they remember her as a very dedicated volunteer who was their lead guitarist, the leader of the instrumentalists. She is remembered as a very happy person. And this time, some city leaders are not allowing this to go by with the usual platitudes about taking care, paying attention, sharing the roads. In the wake of the crash, councillors Mike Cole, Jay Robinson, and Josh Matlow are calling on the city to improve pedestrian safety immediately around all major construction sites. Cole likens construction in this particular area, the Young Eglinton neighborhood, to a, quote, nonstop invasion, and he wants a pause in development in the neighborhood until the roads in the area are made safe. Now, just in case you're not sure what we're talking about, we are talking about the Eglinton crosstown, and we're talking about massive condo developments. Is this a practical idea? What do you think of it? Would you like to see a pause in development around where you live? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And as I said, we are going to look at this in detail with many different perspectives. And we start with Councillor Mike Cole for Ward 8, Eglinton Lawrence, and Josh Matlow for Ward 12, Toronto St. Paul's. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for the interest and concern in this, Libby.
Okay. And Josh, are you there?
I am. Well, thank you for having us on.
Okay. Let's start with Mike Cole. This happened right in your neighborhood, and you are calling for a pause in construction. How practical is that?
Well, I think what it really signals, Libby, is that it's not, as you said, the normal platitudes here. We've got to do something effective and dramatic and quick because this has gone on long enough, and this is sort of the crossing of the line here, what's happened, because, you know, earlier this year I had another constituent run over by a dump truck up there on Lawrence Avenue. So we need to do something that is comprehensive. It just isn't one street, or it just isn't Josh's ward or my ward. It's the three wards that butt Young and Eglinton. We are all, as I said, invaded by these construction heavy-duty trucks, you know, lined up 10 at a time. We've got, as you said, we also have this mammoth Eglinton Crosstown project, along with all these, you know, condos, which are going from 20 stories to 70 stories. So we need to put in some kind of traffic management safety plan right away with the police, with the transportation department, with the developers. We got to come to the table and put something together, and we cannot, you know, continue to put Band-Aids on this. We need something comprehensive for the four corners.
Okay, Josh Matlow, you're in the neighboring ward in St. Paul's. Full disclosure, I live there. There is also a lot of construction there. What do you see in your ward?
Well, certainly, and then not not alone at Yonge and Eglinton, but most of all at Yonge and Eglinton, given that it's a provincially designated growth center, that we see an unprecedented level of condo development. And, you know, without some of the basics that we believe, Mike and Jay Robinson, I believe, along with our residents, should be there to protect our quality of life and our public safety. You know, the reason that the three of us have been asking for a pause on development for many years, along with safety, is that the pace of growth has gone faster than the ability for government to provide adequate capacity for school spaces and transit and parks and basic infrastructure like water capacity to keep up with that pace of growth. What we've also seen is a lot of frustration. And what's been building up in the Yonge and Eglinton area is that there are drivers who are waiting endlessly through the construction who become aggressive and speed where they want to speed because they're trying to get away from that that mess. The problem is that far too many drivers across the city don't always recognize that, you know, the people walking around them or in front of them are not just obstructions. These are people who somebody loves. They're somebody's daughter or son or sister or brother or friend, as Evangeline was. And, you know, if all of us don't slow down, more people are going to die. That's just a fact. And we have to address the problem, both through behavioral changes individually, but collectively, we need to move forward with real, genuine Vision Zero implementation to redesign and reconfigure roads. And I gave the example yesterday when Mike Jay and I got together with residents. In 53 Division, one of the police divisions where Yonge and Eglinton is, for example, that goes all the way from Lawrence down to Bloor, Thorncliffe Park, all the way to Spadina, the police only allocate two traffic cops to enforce the Highway Traffic Act, which is just ridiculous. It's insufficient. And far too many drivers believe that they're not going to get caught and there are no consequences, and they're probably right. So, you know, we've decreased the speed on the speed limits from, I moved a motion years ago to move it from 40 to 30. There are, you know, certain things that have been done, but Mike and I are on the same page, along with Jay, that there should be a plan up front before any development is built to not just focus on what they want to build, but most importantly, how are they going to do it and how are they going to do it safely? And that needs to be a comprehensive approach in neighborhoods like Yonge and Eglinton. And I would also add areas of the downtown core and North York and wherever construction is massive and to the extent that we see in urban growth centers.
Michael, I want to address the particular problem of trucks because we have seen quite a number of fatalities by trucks. I mean, this is not in the same universe, but I want to even just talk about something that happened right in front of my house. There's a house two doors down that's getting massive renovations. There was a very, very large truck there. Somebody came to visit me in, it was either a 4x4 or a big van, a truck you couldn't miss. And thank goodness he wasn't in the car. But this guy just kind of backed into him. Like, I don't even know. Like, was he not looking or couldn't see? But these vehicles can be a real menace. So what do you want to do to address particularly these large trucks in these residential places?
Well, first of all, there's got to be an awakening here whereby it's not normal traffic control. This is hyper truck traffic through residential streets, which can hardly handle the regular vehicles. So therefore, given the historical proportions of development that's taking place at the Four Corners, Yonge and Eglinton, we've got to put in a plan that basically addresses a number of things. First of all, truck drivers who drive big cement trucks and drive dump trucks, bulldozers, they need to have special training of how to handle these vehicles safely through the middle of one of the most congested areas in Canada. They don't have that special training. They may be good truck drivers on the highway, etc. They may be very trained professionally, but they need to be trained in how to drive safely and do their work safely. Right now, there is no special training for that. And secondly, there needs to be a cooperative approach whereby it's the developers who have hired these truck drivers. It's the police, as Josh has mentioned, who can't treat this just as another neighborhood. They need special resources assigned to the four corners there, where there is enforcement of the speed limits, of the parking restrictions. Right now, the police are not there in great numbers because, as you know, they're already dealing with so many things, but we need that. Pardon me?
Yeah, exactly. They're not there. We've got the mayor put in some more cameras, some more technology. Do you think technology can solve this?
Well, we're waiting at a time. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. Josh, as you know, we have been asking, the city's been asking for simple camera technology around school zones for 2.5 years. And they're still sitting on the legislation. This is one simple part of the solution, is to have more cameras, like we had them for red light cameras, yet it's taken 2.5 years to basically give us simple red light camera technology around schools. We can't get that done because the province has to check out everything, go back and forth. The bureaucratic slowdown just to get one piece of technology that could help.
But we are getting more cameras in trouble areas for shootings. So, and that happened pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, we're getting those. But on the other hand, there's nothing really on a wide scale, a comprehensive scale, used for making neighborhood streets safer, whether it be school zone, senior zone, or high construction areas like this. There should be cameras deployed. So, because you can't have a police officer at every corner. But the cameras being there is another way of helping, as we need to do other things. But that's one piece of it that we need done yesterday.
May I add, Libby? Study after study internationally demonstrates that in fact cameras are not actually that helpful when it comes to violent crime, but can be helpful. When it comes to everything from car break-ins to kind of car-related crimes, and certainly red light cameras can be a helpful preventative tool to just even send a message to drivers that even if you don't care about other people, if you care about yourself, if you care about your own pocketbook or demerit points, then you better start behaving better. And, I would even describe, initially the description of what happened to Evangeline was that a concrete truck killed her. I would phrase it slightly differently. A driver of a concrete truck killed her. I don't mean to say that he did it deliberately, but we can all make better decisions about how we drive to more carefully and slower, so that we don't run over people with these massive machines that we're operating. But we have to make some changes.
Okay, I have a question, and I think Josh can take it first. And people who are waiting to get on, I am going to take your call, so please you hang on and listen, hopefully. Okay, so is this a problem where developers have too much sway? We were also in a situation where the OMB was kind of sent away from Toronto, but they are now coming back. And they generally let developers willy-nilly on the other side of it. Everybody says we need to go with more density here in Toronto. Josh, do you want to take that first?
Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. And Councillor Robinson and myself and Councillor Cole, along with the community, have been, very supportive of a plan that we worked on for years called Midtown in Focus. That wasn't sort of an anti or pro-development plan, but it was finally a plan that emphasized quality of life. So everything from traffic safety to school capacity to infrastructure to parks and public realm, et cetera. It was about childcare. It was about improving the community so the development would support the quality of life rather than just developers making tons of money on luxury condos. When Doug Ford and his government were elected, they changed, not only did they change the plan, they completely capitulated to the development industry lobby. And they made the whole plan one of the most developer-friendly land use plans in the entire continent. So now what we're concerned about is that there's going to be this more and more development happening without plans to make sure that it's done safely and that our quality of life will keep up with the pace of growth. So we're not saying it's not about being anti-development. We're just saying, at the very least, kids should have a place to go to school. People should be able to get onto the subway in the morning. People should be able to have a park to go to nearby. The tap should go on. The toilet should flush. And at the very least, you should be able to walk down the street and not fear that a massive concrete truck is going to be driven by somebody who's going to go over the sidewalk and hit you.
Is that what happened? He went over the sidewalk because...
Well, we don't know all the details of what occurred in this particular situation, but what is very commonplace, I've seen it firsthand more than once, and you hear about it all the time at Yonge and Eglinton, is because the streets were not planned for this extent of construction. They were originally just small residential streets that now found themselves in the heart of an urban growth center. But for these massive trucks to go through these narrow streets, and they're trying to make these tight turns, it's commonplace for the back tires to go up on the curbs or them to cut across a corner to get around. And that's why I'm emphasizing the redesign and reconfiguration of streets, because it's one of the tenets of Vision Zero. It's an internationally recognized practice of improving road safety, is along with the regulations, and then, of course, the enforcement, which we have a dearth of, as I said earlier, the streets need to be designed in a way to mitigate even the possibility of the worst drivers doing the worst things. And I think that is where we need to invest substantively.
And Mike, do you see the developers as a big part of the problem here?
Well, they basically have been given a blank check to do whatever they want now in Toronto and in Yonge and Eglinton. So if we think it's bad now, it is going to be 100 times worse given the green light they've been given to go from, there's one proposal they were going for off Yonge Street from 24 stories. They built 108, which gave the developers this green light. Now they want 41 stories. So we are in a real crossroads here, no pun intended, but we need to do something because the challenges are even going to get worse.
Okay. May I add a yes. specific number just to help your listeners understand the enormity of this situation? Currently, there are roughly 19, 20,000 residents right just within a few blocks of the corner of the junction. It is between what has been approved and what has been proposed. We're looking at that doubling over the next few years. The neighborhood just can't take that enormity of growth. We're not saying no growth ever. We're just saying do it in a way that respects the safety and the quality of life of the community. And what the government has allowed is for, as Mike said, this kind of, this carte blanche to just build, make tons of money, and then we've got to scramble to figure it out afterwards. That's just bad planning and bad public policy.
Okay. I know that Councillor Cole has to go. Josh Matlow, are you going to hang with us for a bit?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. We are going to bring in Councillor James Pasternak. Now, I have to take a break, but I am going to take one of our callers who's been waiting very patiently. We've got Sam in Toronto. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Libby, how are you?
I
make it short. I know it's a crowded day. So I'm going to say like a few points. First of all, I talked to you a few weeks ago about the same thing on regulated. This is a corporate-owned city, and they even hire cops, a police department, which is the second construction companies are the second employers of the police department, basically. Let's admit it. And that's their lobby. And I was run over by a dump truck.
Oh, my goodness.
Regardless of like death that I see around my neighborhood in Forest Hill, Patterson, Eglinton, just last year, a young Filipino lady was run over by a dump truck. And she got killed in like 6 a.m. And the guy said, I couldn't see it. Now, the same thing over me. When I was making right turn on Richmond, the guy ran over my trunk, practically pressed my back. I got out of a car just in time. And he still couldn't notice me. I had to run away after the guy.
Oh, my God.
And catch the guy and say, what are you doing? And then he comes down and he says, I couldn't see you. I couldn't see you. And the cop, the police guy, officer who was there, he was minding, he was working for the construction company at the same time for his company. And he comes there. He was very tolerant to him, you know, and he says, well, things like this happen and take it to this. Anyway, the bottom line is that dump trucks are keep, this is like a war zone. This is a war zone in Toronto on regulated construction all over the city. Thanks, you know, mainly to Doug Ford and, you know, a corporate-friendly government. And pedestrians keep getting killed. And if it was anywhere else, there would have been some sort of a stoppage, as the councillor rightly pointed out. And basically, they are unregulated. This is a danger, not only the city, for the city and its citizens, but for, as you said, you know, it's a very dense area that is getting denser and denser. And this is greed and capitalism. There is no other name for it.
Okay,
greed,
Sam.
Capitalism, and that's it.
Sam, thank you very much for sharing your story. That's quite a devastating story. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are on the line with Josh Matlow, and I'd like to bring in Councillor James Pasternak, who is chair of the Infrastructure and Environment Committee. Councillor Pasternak, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Hi, Josh. Hi, Libby.
This idea of putting a halt until some kind of something is put in, is that at all realistic?
Well, I was a panelist at a big conference that's taking place in Toronto this week, the National Association of City Transportation Officials. And as a panelist, I explained to them that the number one issue that's coming across councillors' desks these days is traffic management, traffic chaos, the lawlessness on our roads. And when you combine that with declining infrastructure and increased construction sites across the city, you really are asking for high risk situations. So it is very serious. A moratorium on construction, I'm not sure that whether the city has the legal means to do it and whether the courts will even uphold any kind of freeze on construction. So I don't know whether the legal tools are there. These applications went through the proper process, rightly or wrongly. They were approved. They did have a traffic and pedestrian safety plan attached to every site plan agreement. Whether there are holes in that, that's another part of the debate. There are holes in that. But to freeze development in a major intersection, I'm just not sure whether we have the legal tools to do it and whether the courts or the province would even uphold it.
Does anybody know if the city's legal team has been consulted on this?
Yeah, I can answer that. No, James is completely correct. The city has no authority to be able to put a complete freeze on development in any area, unless, of course, there are specific cases where there can be holds put on specific developments. But there are legal terms for what that can be and how long it'll be for. So we've looked into this for years. In fact, as I said earlier, the Doug Ford government has gone the opposite direction. Rather than consider where there should be even reasonable pauses like what we've requested to allow for the infrastructure and the services to catch up with the growth, along with a focus on proactive traffic safety measures, they've gone the other way. They've basically given the development industry lobbyists everything that they asked for and supported the government for. So, but it doesn't mean that as leaders and local representatives, we shouldn't be calling for what we know to be right and challenge those who have ignored the community for so long to listen. That's the only way you arrive at the destination that you believe you should get to.
James Pasternak, is there anything you think you could do?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's only two mechanisms that I know of. There's an interim control bylaw, which you can freeze development on a vacant site for a year, and that can be renewed. And, of course, on an active construction site, there's stop work orders. But I think we have to look at some of the licensing policies governing the drivers of these large vehicles. And, you know, you need a knowledge and vision test every 5 years, no road test, for those who have a Class D license to drive these large vehicles. And only when you hit 80 years of age or older do you need an annual and a road test, an annual test and a road test. So,
Are you telling me there are 80-year-old truck drivers?
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you that's in the legislation.
Okay.
The other thing is, so you have to look at the front end of this problem. You have to look at who's behind the wheel of these vehicles. The other thing you have to look at is the technology of these vehicles and whether they have some of the new innovative technology that many vehicles have as far as alerting themselves to any kind of obstacle behind them, in front of them, and so forth.
I mean, honestly, yeah. If my little car can make a very loud noise, if a pedestrian walks in front of or in back of me, I don't see why a big truck shouldn't have that.
Well, that's right. So we have to look. We have to look at that. We have to look at the licensing requirements and renewal, make them more frequent, make them more vigorous, and we have to look at the manufacturer of these vehicles to make sure they meet modern standards.
Yeah, but that's not anything that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, these are long term.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, I concur with everything that James just said. I thought James's suggestions are astute and incredibly thoughtful and productive. But it goes back to another challenge that we have as a city, is that not a single thing that James suggested is something that the city has any purview over. So it's once again things that we would need to go to the province and make requests or demands of. That's something that we really, we need to continue engaging this province to focus on, which has not been a priority for them yet.
Right. Well, there's more work to do. I mean, one thing I put in my notes here, I noticed that Pusateri's up at Avenue Road and Lawrence has, a paid duty officer directing traffic in and out of their parking lot. And I'm wondering why an upscale grocery store is more in tune to some of the safety requirements of their customers as opposed to some of the managers of these construction sites. And it's something that we have to have stronger penalties. We have to have greater enforcement. We have to take carriage of the things that are municipal jurisdiction. And if we have to ask for more powers from the province, I think we should do so.
Okay, let's take a call from Rick in Etobicoke. Hi, Rick.
Hi, folks. How are you today?
Fine. Go ahead.
Now you gotta listen to me for a couple of minutes here. First of all, I want to tell you that the government itself, the MTO, they're not using their power. I can name you right now five concrete companies that drivers are working 20 hours a day. You're only allowed to drive for 13. They should be going in and auditing their hour books, not their log books, because they're juicing them. They got to go and check their wages and see how many hours they're getting paid for. That's number one. And there's five companies. And that accident that happened, that's one of the companies that are scamming, just forcing people to work, a driver like me, to go and work. And if I don't, I don't have a job. Second of all, dump trucks. 80% of the dump trucks on the road are running illegal. And they're paid by the load. And if you don't hustle, you don't have a job. So it starts right from the top. And as far as this panel's talking about, the panel's a joke. Why don't they get somebody in there who knows what they're talking about? I've been driving for 43 years. I've never knocked a mirror off a truck. I go on the 401 yesterday, and I get people stopping in the middle of the highway, right in the middle, to exit at the Don Valley Parkway, a last-minute exit. They should be nailing those people right and take their license off them, because those are the ones that are causing these accidents. And people are walking kitty-corner. When I go to turn right, I take a lane and a half. I look to my right. There's nobody there. I look my left, make sure the way's clear. I start to go. I shift into third gear, and all of a sudden, this person jumps right out in front of you, 100 feet from the intersection to beat the light.
Okay, Rick, but you've got to admit that you have a big responsibility if you're driving a truck.
But it's got to start at the top. The government has to go and check the hour books, not the log books, because the log books are juiced. Trust me.
Well, okay, that's quite the allegation. But thanks for your call, Rick.
Yeah, I think Rick has some good points, but I think he's also confusing jurisdictions.
Exactly.
He's on a 400 series highway with big trucks that are approved and licensed by the province, yelling at city councilors. Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I can write a letter of introduction to his local MPP if he wishes, but we've got to work with what's in our jurisdiction.
He might. I mean, you know, if it's true that, say, the driver of that truck, you know, was working beyond the allowable limit, that's something we have to consider.
It's very serious. Yes.
Yeah, I think you know, I what I certainly would agree with is that regardless of, you know, whether it be Councillor Pasternak or myself or Councillors Cole or Robinson or members of provincial parliament who really do, as James said, you know, have purview over this, anyone who is engaging in this conversation should not ignore members of the industry and day-to-day drivers, and we should be seeking their advice as well. Because if we want to make any reforms and changes, we need to understand what, you know, practically what their realities are and how we can work with them to make those improvements. So, you know, and I think if that's Rick's point, I validate that, of course.
Thank you so much, Councillor James Pasternak and Councillor Josh Matlow.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay, we are talking about the Yonge Eglinton area of Toronto, which has been described as a war zone, just because of the numbers of huge construction equipment, huge construction vehicles. Following the death of Evangeline LaRosa, three city councillors are calling for a moratorium on construction in the area, and that means construction of condos and constructions of the Eglinton Crosstown. And right now, I would like to bring in Jamie Robinson, and he is the Director of Community Relations and Communications for Rapid Transit Projects at Metrolinx, and they, of course, are in charge of that construction. Jamie, thank you very much for joining us.
I'd be pleased to speak with you.
Well, what is your reaction to what you've been hearing and also the suggestion for a moratorium on this construction?
So really obvious that listening to your discussions with the councillors and your callers, this is a tremendously complex issue. There's a lot of players involved, you know, with there's developers, there's constructors, there's issues around trucks and drivers. And there's a lot of people that are involved in terms of trying to regulate the space, you know, city staff, city councillors, and Toronto Police. And so we've all got to work together, because as Councillor Matlow pointed out here, that, you know, we have to make sure that our communities are as safe as they possibly can be. And we all know that if there's ever ever an interface between a truck and a driver, or sorry, a truck and a pedestrian, the truck's going to win every time. So one of the things that we know is that Crosslinx Transit Solutions and who's our constructor on the crosstown, and the crosstown itself, it's the most and highly regulated from a traffic control point of view, and I think that we've really set the standard through our constructor for traffic safety in a construction environment. So safety is our number one priority. And let me give you a practical example, Libby, that because I know that that you live in the area. And so one of the things that our constructor has to do is put together traffic management plans that get reviewed and approved by the city. One of the things that's included in those plans is haul routes. So if you're living in the area, as you know, that you can imagine our large construction site over at Avenue Road and Eglinton for our Avenue site. And so the haul route for large vehicles down there typically comes down Yonge Street. They go on to Duplex, and they can further south, and then they turn right or west onto Eglinton and head over to the construction site at Avenue Station. So all those haul routes are approved and by the city, and if if there are violations of those haul routes, then the drivers themselves will be disciplined. So we know that we've had experiences, a number of experiences, with our local eyes and ears in the community, the residents that and businesses that we work with all the time. When they see a truck that looks a little big and shouldn't be in the, driving in the adjacent residential community, they'll send me or my staff or CrossLink staff a picture and a text and sort of say, hey, can you follow up on this? And the constructor does, and drivers are disciplined and are no longer they're taken off those routes, because it's tremendously important that they we maintain community safety as much as possible. So that's a practical example of the kinds of things that we're doing to both at Metrolinx and our constructor CrossLinx. And I'm not sure that the other developers, the condominium developers, are subject to the same regulations that we are in terms of approved truck routes. So you've got the Crosstown, which is a huge, massive construction project. We've been working on Eglinton since spring of 2012 when we began tunneling. And then since that time, there's been a tremendous amount of development. There's all condos going up all over the place. You've got people, the trucks that are driving in residential communities where they shouldn't be. You've got drivers of vehicles that are trying to avoid the congestion in these areas, driving in adjacent residential communities. And you've got people that are at risk all the time. So it's a collective effort that we've really got to work together on to solve.
Okay, so basically you're saying that the crosstown construction is not the problem and you guys are doing everything right. That's your position?
I'm saying that we take this very, very safely, very, very seriously, and that safety is the number one priority. I can say that that after the incident a couple of days ago, the president of CrossLinx and just a general reminder out to all staff working on the sites that how important this issue, how have to be continue to be vigilant in terms of traffic setups and the like. Vigilant in terms of trucks hauling and making sure that they're only going down an approved routes, and so that I'm not saying that we do have an impact, obviously, because people are moving off of Eglinton to avoid the construction to get there from point A to point B faster than they currently are.
Okay, I'd like to bring in Councillor Jay Robinson. I'm assuming no relation to Jamie Robinson from Metrolinx. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you, Libby?
Fine, how are you?
I'm great.
Hope that you'd be related.
Yes, we should be related. We work well together.
Okay, well, that is good to hear. Councillor Robinson, you were saying, following this terrible crash that took the life of Evangeline LaRosa, that the truck was on a street that was clearly marked no trucks.
Yeah, Libby, that amongst many other things. This street has had special attention from the city because, I think you and I talked about this some time ago, all the development happening at Yonge and Eglinton, including the development on Erskine, beside John Fisher School. So it was meant to be 8 to 12 stories. It ended up being, thanks to the OMB, 35 stories. And so we put in a whole bunch of safety regulations and applications on that street because of that building going up, literally overhanging almost John Fisher School, a small grade school with small children. And so not only is there no trucks allowed, literally on that street, we also made it a community safety zone. Another thing you and I have talked about in the past, where I lifted the moratorium on those so we could roll those out across the city. Coupled with that, there's a school safety zone meters from where this incident happened. It's 30 kilometers. And we often have, enforcement there because we've had such problems in this whole area, as you've heard over the last hour. And enough is enough. Like, this is just crazy. This poor woman was in a crosswalk in the white striped area and simply crossing a street that I have crossed 500 times, as have my family and friends and neighbors. So, we live in this neighborhood and people want to feel safe. And she simply came out of, I think the Starbucks on the one side was simply going across the street in the protected zone, a so-called protected zone, and lost her life.
Do you agree with Jamie Robinson that the problem is not the Eglinton Crosstown construction and there's no need for a moratorium on that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that Metrolinx has had a tough challenge. So I'm the chair of the TTC, as you know. And we need to get this built. We're at capacity, particularly in the Young Eglinton area. And we need to get transit built in the city. And they are heavily regulated on what they can do. And there's public meetings related to what they can do. So absolutely, we can't slow that down. Also, Libby, you know, I think Jamie said this, but I'm going to reemphasize it. The people in Leaside and Davisville Village are suffering from infiltration from that build. And so, as Jamie indicated, people are not going on Eglinton. They're rerouting through neighborhoods. And so we want that to end. We feel there'll be, when this is wrapped up, there'll be some relief from that infiltration. But there is so much development in that area. It's just out of control.
But you are in favor of a moratorium on the other development.
Correct. And I have been talking about that for at least, I think maybe 8 years, but for sure I'm confident in saying six, that there needs to be some type of pause because it's just too much too fast. And again, if I showed you a map of what's being proposed, it's very aggressive, this development. And so we've exceeded the provincial growth targets over and over and over again that were laid out over a decade ago. I think we've exceeded them at least by the target by 50%. And so people in this neighborhood are just fed up, and this has just created a firestorm.
Is there a hope in heck that this might happen, that you might be able to get some relief?
Well, I'll just tell you that when Jennifer Keesmaat was the chief planner, I had many meetings with Jennifer. And since she's been gone, I've met with Greg Lintern, the current chief planner. And so far, no, there's no hope. And so I met with the mayor the day this incident happened. This happened at 10 o'clock. I was met with the mayor that afternoon. And we had a lengthy discussion about it. I've also had, just on the safety side, conversations and meetings with the general manager of transportation to get some, because this happened, this incident happened in my ward.
Yep.
So we are going to, Libby, push very aggressively for not a school crossing guard, but now we've stepped that up to have paid duty, because there's just too much construction, too many trucks. And Libby, when I was at the vigil last night, because after we did the press conference, we had a vigil, and it was very moving, and I met the victim's sister.
Oh.
She is the only remaining relative in Canada, so now she's on her own. They live together, and she is beyond heartbroken, as you can imagine, but I was able to speak with her. But, you know, this is just unacceptable, and we need immediate action. No more plans, no more petitions, no more studies. We need action in this area, and I have said this till I'm blue in the face at council, and that's why you hear the frustration in my voice. This is not the first time we've talked about this.
It's the umpteenth, and every time I tackle this, I say I'm really annoyed that we have to talk about this. I just want to hang on. I just want to take a couple of calls from people who've been waiting. We've got John in Aurora. Hello, John.
Yes. How are you doing today?
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Myself, I've been a professional driver for almost 40 years. I got over 6 million accident-free miles or kilometers. I've been working the downtown core in construction, heavy equipment, heavy trucks, running concrete beginning of the year. And I have to say, I am tired of the truck. It's always the trucks being bashed. When I would go to work for a concrete company, I have to go through all sorts of safety training. They're doing everything to do everything as safely as possible. And where I was working, I mean, they're watching you with cameras. And it's a case, what I see happening out there on the roads every day is general public doesn't pay attention to what's going on around them. They always figure, oh, big trucks slow, so we can always beat them. And I have it on a daily basis, I'm being cut off to the point that I don't want to kill anybody, But the thing is, it's inevitable with what when you get cut off, that big truck doesn't stop on a dime.
Yeah, well, and we're talking about a pedestrian crossing at a crosswalk. We're not talking
correct.
About drivers cutting you off. So
no,
clearly,
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, clearly, and you're driving a big truck. I mean, congratulations to you for your safety record, but clearly there's a problem there.
Oh, I understand there's a problem, but I think it's time that people take a look at both sides of the coin instead of just labeling us as being the people out to kill everybody.
Well, nobody is saying that. John, thanks for your call. Let's get to Kathy in Toronto. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. So I have a comment with regards to the CrossLink, gentlemen. So last year, I live near Keele and Eglinton. So I was crossing at the corner of Keele and Eglinton, and the CrossLinks are doing the construction there too. And I thought that I was very dangerous. I was taking my life in my hands. They had moved intersections, so the cars, when they were making the right-hand turn, weren't seeing the pedestrians, and some of them literally had to slam on the brakes when they saw me. I was scared. So I called CrossLinks, and I spoke to a gentleman, explained what happened, and he said that he was in the area, and he spoke with school and businesses, and he didn't feel that that was a concern. Okay, so I thought about it, and I said, you're not taking me very seriously, so I emailed him. My concern by email, and stating to him that yes, maybe they thought it wasn't a concern, but it was a concern. I was the only one crossing
Kathy,
that early in the morning. I explained to him,
I'm really
had a chance to review it, and they looked at the
Kathy,
setup, and they saw two additional signs.
Kathy, I'm very so sorry. Kathy, I'm very sorry to cut you off, but we're basically out of time on the show. I have to wrap things up. Tomorrow is a free-for-all Friday, and we can talk to you a bit longer. I'm going to try to get a 30-second comment from Jamie Robinson, and thank you very much for your call. Okay. Jamie, 30 seconds to respond to Kathy, and then another 30 seconds for Jay Robinson.
Yeah, I think it's, as we've talked about here, this is such a important, complex issue. We've all got to work hard together to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to make this community as safe as possible. There's a lot of players in this, and Metrolinx is one, and our constructors are others, and we're happy to work with people to roll up our sleeves to do it, whatever measures can be taken to make things safe.
Okay, Jay Robinson.
I couldn't really hear the caller, but I would just echo Jamie's comments and saying, I think everybody's working collectively to do the best they can. But, you know, it's just the pressures, just to speak to the truck driver for a minute, it's the pressures. There's such sheer volume and quantity, and it's the pressures in the area that are creating this aggressive driving and this aggression across the Yonge Eglinton corridor.
And across the whole city.
Across the whole city, but we're seeing it...
I think, yes.
So I think it's so important that, the other thing I just want to add quickly, Libby, is people are saying trucks are parking on the sidewalks in these construction areas. I've moved motions on that, and that's got to stop. That's pushing pedestrians out into the roadway. So I want to make that point as I wrap up.
Okay. Obviously we're going to have to talk about this very important issue again. Callers, audience, tomorrow's Free for All Friday, so please call back to talk about this again. We're just out of time for today. I'd like to thank Councillor Jay Robinson and Jamie Robinson from Metrolinx and all our other people that we were talking about. And that's all the time we have for Fight Back for today. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.